Have your Bibles. Let's start with Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. We were sitting there singing, and I squatted down there and started praying. So I don't know if you heard it or not, my microphone was on. Julie's over here. Dad, your microphone's on before you get carried away confessing. Thank God for my daughter. Oh, man, I was getting ready. Yeah, I ain't done Brother Dilbert's deal yet. Yeah. So, if you heard any of that, hopefully I was vague. All right, so again, so I got tonight, and the next Wednesday night I should be able to finish up. I'm going to try to summarize a lot of it tonight and then just highlight his third journey. And it's not to get into it a lot of doctrinal stuff with the Apostle Paul and through his travels and through his journeys there. The point was, when the Lord started dealing with me about this, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And this world is 100% against us. And this world will try to define for you how you're supposed to worship the Lord if you let it. And so, just trying to go through here to show you, I mean, we support over 100 missionaries, and I don't know, $200,000 a year, something like that goes to missions in this little local church, and to know why we do those things, and to know that it's scriptural. And a lot of times people say, well, all you do down at Trinity is preach on money. I don't think I've ever heard one message just on money since I've been here, and I've been going here since 1991. So it's like, does it get hit? Maybe it got hit at a mission conference or one or two times. But that's not the truth. You're just trying to get offended, and you're sensitive to the problem. And I'm just talking to people that's listening on the internet or whatever out in the town that talk about us and stuff like that. The fact is, we're supposed to give to missions, and we're supposed to tithe, and we're supposed to do those things. And we preach the truth, and we preach the unadulterated truth, and we're not ashamed of it. And so going through here, what I'm just trying to do is to get to the point to where we realize, you know what? Man, this is right. This is right what we're doing here. And I may mess up through the week, and I may have problems through the week, and I may gossip here or there, and I may have a bad thought here or there, and I may have, you know, pride creep up and this or that, but there's some things that we're doing at Trinity Baptist Church that I'm a part of that one day, man, it's going to count. And it's laying up treasure for ourselves in heaven. And so it's just to try to encourage you to look at this stuff and say, you know what, when we hear these things out in the world or out in the town or whatever it is, and we hear people talk about how weird we are and the cult that we are and all that stuff, just, you know, it's just good to look and say, you know what, they said the same thing about the Apostle Paul and the apostles. They said those that turn the world upside down. The world don't like to be turned upside down. It likes to be able to define the rules, tell you who's right, tell you who's wrong, be able to tell you whether you're serving the Lord or you're not serving the Lord. They want to be the ones that's in control. So going through this, we just wanted to be able to get those things established and shown right there in Scripture. I mean, you got people like Joel Osteen who's saying, you know, you're getting younger. Look in the mirror and say, I'm getting younger. I'm getting better looking. You know, it's like, where do they get this stuff at? It's not in the Bible. And that's why they want to tell you that we make too much out of the Bible. How can you make too much out of the Bible? Hold your place right there and go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. And the thing is when Paul's going to these different places, it's nothing different. There's not, oh, well, I'm going to do something different here, or I'm going to do something different here, or I'm going to do something different here. Well, I'm over here in this town, so I'm going to do something different here. And, well, things has changed. I think a better way to do this is, and I don't really like the way they do it. You know what? It was given to Paul. Paul's the one who went out in the desert of Arabia for 3 years with the Lord Jesus Christ, and God told him, this is the way things need to be done, this is the gospel I want you to preach, and this is the way I want you to do it. And he stuck to it all through the book of Acts. That's what he did. He gave the gospel. He would go in and he'd preach the gospel. And then first thing he'd do is he'd preach to Jews. That's the first thing he'd do. He'd go to the synagogues. And you say, what for? To show them that they already believed that there was a Messiah coming. They already believed there was a Christ. What he was doing was trying to persuade them that Jesus was the Christ. And that's what he would do. So he'd go into the synagogues. Then he would go to the Greeks, to the Gentiles, and go preach to them every time. And then what would happen is some would believe and some would believe not. And he didn't get tore up on how he said it or am I saying it the right way. There's sensitive people in the world and they're going to try to tell you how to preach and what you should say and what you shouldn't say, but don't work that way. You know what he did? He got in there and he preached and he preached and he preached and he preached the gospel over and over and over. And here in Romans chapter 4, here's what he determined everything by. Romans chapter 4, look what he says. What shall we say then that Abraham our father as pertaining to the flesh have found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. So he makes a statement here, and he's making this statement, and when he makes this statement, he backs it up with what? The Scripture, exactly. That's exactly what he backs it up with. What saith the Scripture? Chapter and verse. You know, you hear people, I can remember one time when I worked, I started working at Fruhoff out there, and I was dealing with an all-millennial. We'd go back and they're the one, they don't believe that there's a millennial reign of Christ. They believe that all Revelation chapter 20 is figurative and all this stuff. So we're going back and forth. And he told me one night, he said, you just got a dry church down there. You got a dry church. It's just dry. Whatever. I don't even know what he's going at. He said, you need to read Ezekiel 37, the Valley of Dry Bones. I never read the Valley of Dry Bones. Never read anything about it. But he's sitting there trying to use that as a reason to show me that our church was dry and wasn't filled with the Spirit, I guess. I don't know where he's getting at. But I read Ezekiel chapter 37 for the first time, the Valley of Dry Bones, and I'm reading down through there, and I had heard about the restoration of Israel preached before. And I'm reading Ezekiel 37, and I'm thinking, man, this is the restoration of Israel. This rhymes up with Romans chapter 11. Man, this is good stuff. I'm just getting in. I didn't even know it was in the Bible. So I go back the next day and I start talking to him. I'm telling him what it is. I said, ain't this about the restoration of Israel? He has no idea what I'm talking about. I said, you know, Romans chapter 11. He goes, well, oh. So I go to Romans chapter 11. And then the next day I come back and I give him something else. And finally he says this, chapter and verse. That's all I ever hear from you. And I'm thinking, why is that an indictment against me? It's chapter and verse. That's what you need to go by. It does not matter what we believe. We can say there is no God as long as we want to, yell it as loud as we want to, and that don't change the fact that there is a God. It doesn't change the fact that evolution's wrong and creation is right. It doesn't change the fact of anything, no matter how loud I say it, no matter how many people get hurt from it, no matter how many people are sensitive from it. The truth is the truth, and it's always going to be the truth. And Paul said, I base everything I'm saying and everything I'm declaring to you, I'm going to base it on one thing, and that is this. The same thing Martin Luther said. Sola Scripture. Scripture alone. That's what he went by. What saith the Scripture? And with Paul, and you go through the book of Acts right here, you're not going to see Joel Osteen's church in the book of Acts. It's not there. You just ain't going to see it. It don't work that way. It don't work what they say. You're not going to sit here and just believe something and you're going to be rich or you're going to have health or all those things that they try to portray. And I want you to see this through here. When you start living for God and you start witnessing and you start doing the things you're supposed to do, what we've seen so far is, here's what's going to happen. Some's going to believe, some's not going to believe. And then there's going to be opposition. Everything you do for the Lord, there's going to be opposition. And the words that the Apostle Paul uses, the adjectives that he uses, along with those types of things, along with serving God, is what? Affliction, suffering, those types of things. It's not, oh, I'm going to live my best life now. No, you live for Jesus Christ and you serve God, you might as well get ready. People are going to lie about you. People are going to say things that's not true about you. You're going to have enemies. And you see it all through Paul's journeys. Everywhere he went, he preached to the Jews in the synagogues. Then he preached to the Gentiles. Then people got saved. Then opposition came. And then there were changes in people's life that were doing right, that got saved and they believed. There were changes in their life. They started living their life different. And you know what? 2,000 years later, it's the exact same thing. The exact same thing. I don't care how much the world tries to change it, tries to get rid of sin out of the Bible and tell us that we're not supposed to preach on sin and they're going to water down things and they're going to get preachers to compromise. But let me tell you something. Here's the way they package that stuff. They package it with the words like, their buzzwords are love. You just got to love people. You just got to love them. You got to have compassion. Well, listen, you can talk about compassion all you want to, but compromise is not compassion. Compromise is being effeminate. Compromise is giving up on what God told us the truth is. It's getting scared, or it's having fear and wondering what somebody's going to think and say, you know what? I'm not going to preach it the way it's supposed to be done. I'm not going to say it the way it's supposed to be done. That's the way it works, and that's what goes on all through Paul's journeys. You're not going to get away from it. You know what you're going to find out? There's going to be opposition. Listen, we didn't... when we started... this church, when this church got started, it wasn't started for the purpose of people to see, how good they look. It wasn't started for people to be liked. It wasn't started for to get a church building. It wasn't started to see how big a building we could get or how many people we could get coming to this church. I thank God for all the people that come to this church right here. But Brother Dilber, I don't know how many times he said from this pulpit right here, Trinity Baptist Church is not for everyone. You say, why? Because we're going to go by this book, and a lot of people don't want to go by the book. You want to go by the book, you want to join us, then you're joining us. We're not joining you. That ain't the way it works. We've got set standards that go by this book. We're going to preach the truth. We're going to preach the truth in love. Brother Dilber, for the last month, has been preaching on what? Charity, the love of God, he's been preaching on for a month. So the lies and the stuff that go on that people say about Trinity Baptist Church or any church that wants to do right, we might as well expect it. We got the men's home. You know what you better expect? You're going to have some people who are going to lie about the men's home. They're going to say things that's derogatory toward the men's home. They're going to say things wrong about the street ministry. They're going to say things about street. Well, I just think you're turning off more people than you're helping. It don't matter what you think. I don't get it. It does not matter what you think. Preach the gospel to every creature. Any way we can figure out how to get the word of God out, we do it. We went to church camp at the start of the month. You know what happened? Over 13 people got saved at church camp. Two more got saved on the Wednesday night before church camp. Last 2 weeks ago, I think, on a Thursday night, a couple people got saved on visitation. This past Thursday night, I think there was 4 people got saved on Thursday night, 3 people, Friday night street preaching. You say, what is that? It's getting the gospel out. That's what we're called to do. I don't care whether you think it works or not. That's just the way it is. And another thing that people don't like is they don't like the fact that people preach with authority, and they mistake authority with preaching with hate. Or they mistake authority with preaching, not preaching with love, or not preaching the way you're supposed to be preaching. That's not true. The Bible tells us to preach with authority, and our authority comes from where? This Bible, thus saith the Lord. What the Bible says, it doesn't matter. I don't care what this world has got to tell me how to raise a child. I'm going to go by what the book says. I do not care. When I first started preaching, I'd listen to this when they'd say, well, you know, that's why people don't like Christians, because they act like you're acting. I'm thinking, well, maybe I need to change this, or maybe I need to change that. And I would try to change and try to be different and try to talk to people differently and compromise and say, well, you know, I can see what you're trying to say. And you try to understand them. And you know what? It didn't make no difference. They still didn't want to come to Trinity Baptist Church. They still didn't want to do right. They just want to justify their sin, no matter what. What saith the Scriptures? That's what Paul was interested in. So through this series here, I wanted you to get to where you understand it's about the Scriptures. And there's nothing else. My life changed when I got in Trinity Baptist Church. My kids grew up different than I grew up. Why? Because of this book right here. Because of this book. Was I perfect? No. Did I whip them when they didn't need to be whipped? Yes. Was I mad and whipped them sometimes? Yes. More than once? Yes. Did I let them Bible stuff because I just didn't want to whip them? Sometimes I did. Sometimes I'm just tired of whipping them and I didn't. You know what? I just went by what the book said to do. You know what the Bible says? A child left himself will bring his mother to shame in the context of whipping their children. Here's what's going to happen. Here's what people think. They get a little 2-year-old, 3-year-old, 4-year-old, and they've got all this control because they're a big man or a big mama, and they've got this little bitty kid, and they think they're going to have that type of control over them their whole life. Well, guess what? You don't. They get to be 13, 14, 15, and 16, and that's when they bring shame. You say, why? Because somebody tried to raise them like the world said to raise them. And when it happens, you know what they're going to do? They're going to sit here and think, well, what did I do wrong? And how did I do this? Well, I went by the book, and I went by what Dr. Spock said, and I went by the... You should have went by what the book said. You should have went by what the book said. You got to raise a kid based on the Scriptures and the Scriptures alone. And when you decide to go a different route, then you're taking a chance and you're taking a risk. That's what you're doing. You know what this Bible does? It tells you how to work, how to be a worker at your job site. It tells you what to do. This Bible will tell you you need to save money. It'll tell you about your finances in the book of Proverbs. It'll tell how a husband's supposed to treat their wife. It'll tell how a wife's supposed to treat their husband. And if you go by this right here and both people are working toward it and trying to do what they're going to do, you know what you're going to have? You're going to have a strong marriage. You say, why? Because God showed, He's got the blueprints, and it's all in His book right here. What saith the Scriptures? So the point that I'm trying to sum up here and with Paul is this right here. He went through his journeys. All this was given to Paul by God on the backside of a desert in Arabia. And for 3 years he taught him about this, all the church age and the age of grace and all that stuff. And he showed all of it to him. And he said, now what I want you to do is go to all the world and preach the gospel. Start churches. And he laid the blueprints out for us to do the same thing. And if we're going to do right, we're going to follow his example. We're going to follow what Paul did through these books right here. And so, like I said before, we're not here for none of that other stuff. None of that stuff. I mean, we're not here to try to build a church for young people. But you know what? It happens. You say, why? Because we're following what God said to do. You see these kids up here a while ago, they got ready to walk out. And you know what they did? They got ready to walk up here and start singing. You know why? Because that's what they're being taught in this church. And they don't have to have a smoke show, and they don't have to have ripped jeans, and the pastor ain't up here in his skinny jeans and a pair of boots that looks like he stole them out of his wife's closet. None of that stuff has to go on. You got a bunch of women that spend their life trying to teach these kids how to sing, and they're down there right now practicing with them. I sit there with my wife. I get to listen to these songs driving down the road. What do you think about this song right here? Ooh, that's a good one. That's a good one. And then she's like, I'm like, well, what about this right here? She's like, I don't know about that. And you know what? It's because she loves it. Those other women that work with her, they love it. They put a lot of time and effort into it. Well, you can't have kids that's just going to sing like that and just sing like old hymns and stuff like that. Sure you can. Sure you can. We do it right here all the time, every Wednesday night. That's what you're doing. It's not about them. You know what that is? That's a byproduct of serving God and teaching, like Paul said, to teach. It all comes from this book, and it just continues and continues to flow. And so here's what the deal is. If that's not our job, then what is our job? What is our job? Number one, what you see is this right here. Is Paul said this, preach the gospel to every creature. That was his main purpose going into somewhere, was preach, 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 preach the gospel, preach the gospel, preach the gospel. That's what he wanted. Look at Romans chapter 1. Get Romans chapter 1. My brother Jack, you're so angry tonight. There's a difference between passion and anger. And it don't matter what anybody says about me. It used to bother me. Well, you're just so hateful. No, I'm not. I ain't hateful. I'm just telling you the truth, and I'm passionate about how I say it. I'm just passionate. Look at Romans chapter 1, verse 15. So as much as in me is, this is Paul preaching, talking. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. You know what he believed in doing? Was preaching the gospel. Look at Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15. We're going to look at some scripture tonight. And here's the thing. I know this. You're not going to remember everything that you ever heard, everything that you ever believed, and all that stuff. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to go through a message like this right here, and you're going to go through a series like this right here, and you're going to get solidified on your position. And you need that. And somebody may come up to you and say, well, why do y'all do it like that right there? And you may not be able to remember it. You should be able to remember it. You should study it out. And you should try to figure out what it is and try to write it down and try to remember it. But at least this right here, they are not going to persuade you. You're not going to be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. You can sit down here and you can go through these scriptures right here. And if you'll sit down and say, you know what? I'm just going to go by the Word of God. Then it's going to help you solidify your position and say, you know what? We're right on this right here. And we're right on this right here. And we're right on this right here. And we're right on giving. And we're right on missions. And we're right on street preaching. And I don't care what anybody says. And we're right on visitation. Knocking on doors. You know what? People get saved year in, year out. People get saved. Do you really think it does any good? Yes. Yes, I do. And if it didn't do any good, it wouldn't matter. We're commanded to do it. Romans 15, look at verse... Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Oh, no, 15:20. You're right. That's right. You're right, Jack. Yeah, I was looking at 14:20. Lord, help me. Yeah, 15:20. Yea, so have I strived to preach the gospel, not where Christ was named, lest I should build upon another man's foundation. What's he striving to do? Is preach the gospel. Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Just to the right a little bit, a couple pages. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Look at verse 17. 1:17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. You know what he's doing? He's been sent to preach the gospel. Look at verse 23. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. You know what he's saying? He says, we preach Jesus Christ. That's what we preach. Look at 2 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. You know, people say, well, you know, you preach and you're hateful and you're this. You know, do you think, Brother Jack, that people ever preach with the wrong attitude? Yes, I do. I do believe they do. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. But that doesn't mean you're not supposed to preach it. Here's what happens. Is these people that are constantly telling you you're judging or you ain't preaching with love or all that stuff that they're trying to control you with these labels. The problem is, they're doing the same thing. They're judging you because they're telling you you ain't doing something right. You talk about self-righteous hypocrisy. Somebody to tell you you ain't supposed to judge. Is that not judging? You're just preaching with the wrong attitude. How do you know I've got the wrong attitude? Maybe I'm just passionate. How do you know it's hateful? Maybe I'm just excited about what I'm preaching about. That doesn't mean that I don't have no love. That doesn't mean that I'm being hateful. That's not a hate speech. I'm just preaching the truth of the God. Yeah, but just the way you do it. Well, how do you know unless you're doing what? Unless you're judging. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Look down in verse 16. Look at verse 15. I'll start in 14. For we stretch not ourselves beyond our measure, as though we reach not unto you. For we are come as far as to you also in preaching the gospel of Christ. Not boasting of things without our measure, that is, of other men's labors, but having hope when your faith is increased, that we shall be enlarged by you according to our rule abundantly, to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you, and not to boast in another man's line of things made ready to our hand. But he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved, but whom the Lord commendeth. So it doesn't matter if the world is going to approve me. It doesn't matter. It matters whether God's for it or not. Is God for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ? And you can see see right there with Paul again. Look at Galatians chapter 1. Galatians, to the right a couple more pages. Galatians chapter 1. Look what it says. Verse 15. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to do what? To reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him, talking about Jesus Christ, among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. So what's going on right there? He said, God revealed in me His Son, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at Philippians. Go to Philippians chapter 1. He said, Brother Jack, are we going to look at every... I just want you to understand. Paul did not change his message based on where he was at. He never forgot his message. You know what his message was? Preach the gospel to every creature. Joel Osteen was on TV one time with Larry King. And Larry King said, do you think those people are going to hell who don't believe? And he wouldn't answer the question. If you asked Apostle Paul that, give him that kind of platform. And people started talking about dogging out Joel Osteen. You know what happened? Well, you shouldn't be judging Joel Osteen. Sure we should. He's a liar. You know what's going to happen? They're going to die and go to hell if they're not saved. That's the truth. And you don't want to see somebody die and go to hell, then what you need to do, you need to preach the gospel to them. Philippians chapter 1, look at verse 15. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife. So some people do preach Christ the wrong way. Some people do have a bad attitude. So should they quit preaching? Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, and supposing to add affliction to my bonds. But the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. You know what he's saying? At least they're preaching Jesus Christ. They may have the wrong attitude. The Lord may not be bearing witness with them. But look what Paul says. He goes on to say, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I'm going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you know what? Some people are preaching it for the wrong reasons, but at least the gospel is getting out there. That's how much he believes. So what is our job? Our job is to preach the gospel. And secondly, is this right here, is to edify believers that are saved. To edify believers that are saved. That's the second thing that he said. Look at, go to 1 Timothy. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Or 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's go there first. Second Timothy chapter 4. You got a young preacher here that he's leaving at places to get a church. Church is established and going. And here's what he leads him to do. He says this. 2 Timothy chapter 4. This is where I got my confirmation to preach the Word of God. That's where I got called to preach. Here's what he says, chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Look what he's telling. Look what he says. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. And look what he says to do right here. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. And so he's telling this preacher to what? To reprove people. He's telling them to rebuke people. He's telling them to exhort people with all longsuffering and doctrine. You got to do it the right way, but it's not wrong to rebuke people. And when you rebuke somebody and you call out sin, that don't mean that you're judging somebody. If God's telling you not to judge in one place in the Bible, and I'm not even going to get into that, explaining the whole thing. Let's just say y'all take it that way on the TV. Lord help us. So they take it that way. And then anytime somebody points out a sin, they say, well, you're judging. You ain't supposed to judge. You ain't supposed to judge. They're creating a contradiction in the Bible. God would not tell you to rebuke somebody if that's judging somebody. Does that make any sense? Why would God say, don't judge over here, and then say, go rebuke somebody over here, and then say, well, you're getting in trouble because you were judging somebody? See, what they do is they take verses out of context, and because they want to justify it, or because the world has told them that these preachers are hateful and mean and nasty and don't love anybody, then they can just attach that verse over here to anything they want to. And if they can get 10 or 15 other people on Facebook or Instagram or InstaChat or whatever it is and can say, yeah, I agree with you, then they feel like they've done something. And it ain't changed the Word of God one time. You know what God told him to do? Was rebuke and to reprove and to exhort. Why? Because it cleans people up and it helps people get rid of sin out of their life and shows them the right way to walk and what they're supposed to do. Look over to the left. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy, Dr. Ruppman, you say, ain't nothing like a Bible to clear up an education. 1 Timothy chapter 5. What are they going to do with this verse right here? What are they going to do with this verse right here? 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 20. He's telling Timothy. Here's what Paul's telling Timothy. Them that sin, rebuke before all, that others also may fear. What in the world? Is that judging? It's wrong to gossip. Those that are gossiping, rebuke them in front of everybody. Well, you're supposed to judge, Timothy. Timothy wasn't worried about judging. Paul wasn't worried about judging. You know what it is? That's a bunch of people talking out the back of their neck. That's what it is. And they have no idea what the Bible says, and they're letting this world define to them what Christianity is. You know what Paul said? He said, call them out. Those that are sinning, rebuke them before everybody. Well, in today's time, Paul didn't change. go through all these times of these journeys right here, and you know what? Paul never changed. He went in and he preached the gospel, and they got mad. And when they got mad, you know what they tried to do? They tried to kill him. That's what happened. And some believed, and some believed not. And he never changed his message. He kept that same message. Look over at Titus. Go to Titus chapter 1. Another young preacher. He's going to tell him, now listen, you got to preach in love. And he does say that. He does say you need to preach with love. But you also got to rebuke, and you got to reprove, and you got to exhort. And you do it with all long-suffering and doctrine. And you got to lay it out there. And you say, well, it's just the way you say it. You can't be too harsh. And some people are just so sharp the way they do it. They just look like they're mean and they're hateful. Well, let's see what he told Titus to do. Let's go to Titus chapter 1. Let's look at verse 10. Titus 1:10. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers. Yes, there are. Especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped. Man, that's kind of harsh. Whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and slow bellies. I don't even know what that means, slow bellies, but it'd probably make somebody mad if you looked at them and said, don't be a slow belly! They're slow bellies, they're a bunch of slow bellies, that's what they are. It's like a Dr. Seuss thing, ain't it? Stars and sneeches on the beaches. Verse 13, look what he says. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them in love. Oh, wait, that ain't what it said. Well, I don't know what the Greek word is right there, but wherefore, rebuke them what? Sharply. Why? That they may be sound in the faith. You know what happens is, and I'm being funny up here, kind of, and what happens is this right here, is these people that think that they're just saving the world, because they're telling preachers that preach the truth and preach it the way God said to preach it, they think that they are taking up for these other people. They're doing nothing but keeping them people from getting saved. That's all they are. And to give them another reason to hate Christians. They say, well, the reason you act like this right here, that's why people don't like Christians. Nope, that ain't true. The reason people don't like Christians is because you give them an opportunity to say you're supposed to judge them instead of defending them. Instead of defending them, you get a guy that's going to preach the Word of God, and he's going to give the unadulterated truth to somebody, waist high, right over the middle of the plate. You know what you ought to do? You ought to be on that guy's side. You ought to be backing that guy up. You see a guy street preaching, you need to be saying, amen, praise the Lord, stop and give that guy some water. Don't say, well, I'm kind of ashamed. Yeah, that's our church. Or, yeah, we're the ones that's got all the bumper stickers over everything. That's no way to be. Anyway, God wants us to be. Compromise is not compassion. Compassion is telling somebody about Jesus Christ, and then you know what you do? Once somebody gets saved, they get in church. You know what Paul did at all these churches? He began to teach them, and he began to rebuke and reprove and to exhort. Why? So they would be sound in the faith and showing them, look, this is idols. This is the way you used to do. This is the way you used to live. You don't need this anymore. And you know what happens? They're going to say, oh, I don't think you ought to be preaching about drinking. I don't think y'all be preaching about homosexuality. I don't think y'all be preaching about shacking up. Those are old-fashioned days and those are old-fashioned ways. Well, guess what? We're still old-fashioned around here. We're still going after the old ways and all that stuff and how a woman dresses and she looks like a streetwalker and all that type of stuff. Listen, people get mad all they want to, but the Bible says that a woman is supposed to dress modestly. There's no way around it. That's what you're supposed to teach. And a woman needs to check herself out. It's not for me to check you out. It's not for Brother Dilbert to check you out. You know what we do is we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then we begin to exhort and we say, this is what the Bible says. And it's up to a woman to decide what's modest and what's immodest. That's the way it works. That's the way it works. And we're not going to apologize for preaching the truth. Even if it is some buzzword that people don't want us to preach. This is the way it goes. And we're not worried. We're not scared. We're not in fear. You know what we're going to do? We're going to continue to do what the Apostle Paul did. And that's preach and exhort and rebuke and reprove. Look at Ephesians. Go to Ephesians chapter 5. That's what our job is. And you see it all through his journeys. All through his journeys. And you know what you had? You had Paul uses words like disputing and persuading All the world. You ain't supposed to argue about the Bible. Yes, you are. Yes, you are supposed to argue about the Bible. You have to. If you believe one thing and somebody else believes something else, then that's a dispute. It's got to be settled. And you got to sit. You can't just sit here and say, well, we just agree to disagree. Oh, I hate that. I'm not agreeing to disagree. You're wrong. That's what I agree. I agree you're wrong. And I got chapter and verse for it right here. You say, what is it? It's just a humanistic way of keeping yourself from arguing with somebody. Well, we're just going to have to agree to disagree. Well, I'm going to have to agree to disagree that we shouldn't agree to disagree. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And he's talking to Christians here. And he's telling Christians, this is what he's telling them. And he says this in verse 11. He says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather do what? Reprove them. You know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to make some judgments. Who's the unfruitful works of darkness? Who are they? Where are they? You know what he's expecting you to do right there is to make a judgment. It's called discernment. You're going to have to look at the people that you're hanging with, and you know what you're going to have to do is sometimes you're going to have to say, man, I'm going to have to cut ties with this guy. His guy's got problems. And every time I'm with this guy, my mind starts thinking about this, or I start thinking about doing something like this. You know what he says? Paul said, you're going to have to cut some ties with some people. And not just cut ties with them. That's one thing. You can quit hanging with some people, but that's not what he said. That's the easy way out. The easy way out is just say, you know, well, I'm going to go this. We're just going to agree to disagree. That's the easy way out. Look what he says. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Reprove them. You know what you're supposed to do? You can hang around somebody that gossips all the time, and you get caught up in it, you know what you need to do? You need to cut ties with them. And when you do, you know what you need to say? You gossip too much. I just can't be around you. You gossip too much, it hurts me, I get hung up on it, and you really need to quit doing it yourself. That's what the Bible says to do. Well, you're just being hateful, Jack, and you're just judging people. Yep, that's what we're doing. This person's doing wrong, and I don't need to hang with this person. Or you know what? Somebody needs to say, "But Jack, I just can't hang like that. I think you're going a little too far with some of this stuff, or you're doing this, or you're whatever it is, and I just can't hang with you no more, Brother Jack. And this is why. Maybe I'm the one that they're separating from me. You know what's going to do? What it should do for me is for me to say, dang, I wonder, what is that right there? And I may get in the middle of that. I start looking at it. You know what's going to, it's going to either make me get right or make me double down and get full of pride and keep that sin. But you know what it does? It brings accountability to people. And what we do, we hate conflict. So we don't want to tell somebody something. And then what the world does, because we have enemies, according to the Apostle Paul, and those enemies, Acts 19:28, they were filled with wrath. Acts 19:28 also, they were filled with confusion. Acts 13, they were full of envy. They were full of cursing and bitterness, and they were full of indignation. That's what your enemies get with. And you know what they hate Christians. And you know what their job is to do is to get you to stop preaching the gospel. And to get you from trying to live your life clean the way you should live your life according to the Bible. And that's what they're going to try to get you to do. And it's the preacher's job is to get here and say, thus saith the Lord, this is the way you're supposed to live. You're not supposed to do this. You're not supposed to do this. If you're doing this, you're wrong. If you're doing this, you're right. You say, yeah, but what if you're messed up on it, Brother Jack? Man, I'm messed up. I fall on my sword every time I get up here to preach. There's always stuff in this Bible that I'm looking at and I'm thinking, good night. Man, that's tough right there. That's hard to do. I ain't done this. I ain't done that. And I've let this get away from me. Whatever it is. But that doesn't change. The authority is in the book. I'm not the authority. This book, the King James Bible, is the final authority in all matters of faith and practice. What saith the Scriptures? That's what Paul went by. He went by the Scriptures. And so you have these enemies, and what they're doing is they're trying to get you to stop. They're saying you're turning people off, or they're saying you're a racist, or you don't preach with love, or you got hate speech, or you're hurting my business, don't street preach in front of here, or you're judging, or whatever it is. The problem is the same thing they have with Jesus Christ, is they got a problem with authority. And when somebody says something with authority and they start preaching, they're going to come up with everything they can come up with to do what? To get you to stop. Paul said their mouths must be stopped. And you know what they're looking at? Satan's doing the same thing. Whether they know it or whether they don't, Satan is using them to try to get preachers to shut up. And you know what the sad thing is? Is a lot of them have shut up. A lot of them shut up. Look at Acts, go to Acts chapter 18, where I told you to go at the start. And this is just wrapping up this second missionary journey. And I just want you to kind of see, he goes here in Acts chapter 18, and it's the same stuff. Look at 18:1, it says, and after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately coming from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome. And that's the first mention there of Roman persecution. And came unto them, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. So you see right there, he's going through and he's going after the Jews. Look down at verse 8, the same thing. People's going to believe. It says verse 8, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. So he would preach, and then what would happen? Some people would get saved. And that's what our job is to do. Our job is to preach. Whether somebody gets saved or whether they don't, we've got to do our part, and that is to sow the seed of the Word of God and get it out there and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then after you get there, then what happens? Now, we know what's going to happen. Opposition. Look at verse 12. And when Gallio was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made insurrection with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, this fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, if it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters. And he drave them from the judgment seat. And you know what happens right there? He sits there and you got opposition. And that's the problem. No matter what you do, I get so surprised with Christians when they start doing something with the Lord, for the Lord. And then all of a sudden something bad starts happening. I'm not talking about your washing machine tearing up. I ain't talking about that. I'm talking about persecution. Well, you know, I was going to start giving out some tracts at work. And there was this one woman, and I would have never thought she was like this, but she just thought I shouldn't be doing that. She thinks that that's not the way you should be doing this. And I just don't know what to do. And, well, you thought you were just going to do it and nothing bad was going to happen? You thought nobody, you weren't going to get no opposition? You didn't think nobody was going to be against you? You thought everybody was just going to love it and it's all going to be great? And it don't work like that. I get surprised at me being surprised. Lord, I'm trying to do this right here. And this Lord's like, you need to go listen to your preaching. Why are you surprised? You've been preaching it for 10 weeks. What else would you expect? You know what's going to happen? Satan's going to rise up. And he's going to say, I'm stopping you. And he's going to start getting after you. I don't know how many people I've ever heard of that may have some marital problems. And they say, yeah, things ain't really working out. And we got talking and thought, you know what? We need to go to church. And we started going to church. And man, things just got worse. Really. Yeah, it's called Satan. And he don't want you to work things out. He don't want you to fix things. He's going to get her to get on your nerves again. He's going to get him to get on your nerves again, sis. That's the way it works. You know what you got to do? You got to see that stuff's coming. And you got to do what Paul did. You just put your head down and you go on. And that's the way it works. That's the way it works. Every place Paul went through these journeys is he preached the gospel. And when he preached, it was the same stuff every time. It was hearing, believing, and receiving. And that's the way it worked. And it worked that way all through here, the same way. Verse 8 there, it says, many of the Corinthians hearing, believed, and then after they believed and received the Lord Jesus Christ, then they got baptized. And that's the way it was. And look, verse 9. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee. For I have much people in this city. And look what it says in verse 11. So now he's got people that's saved. So then what do? Then we try to edify them through rebuking and exhorting and doing those things, teaching them. Look what it says in verse 11. And he continued there 1 year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. He stayed there. Once he got them saved, you don't stop there. What do? The same thing he told those young preachers to do. You reprove, and you rebuke, and you exhort, and you correct, and you try to encourage people. Here's what I know. Here's what I know. I know that's what our job is, and we wasn't put here together for each other and to love each other and all that stuff, but it works because we're preaching the Word of God. You know what people do here? They love one another, and they comfort one another, and they encourage one another, and they pray for one another, and they help each other. And when there's problems, you know what they do? They're there for each other. When they have a loved one that's passed away, they're there for each other. They're comfort for each other. You say, what is that? That's a product of preaching the Word of God. When you preach the Word of God, you get people to act like they're supposed to act. And if we're doing that and we're esteeming others better than ourselves, we're not going to be sensitive. And somebody didn't shake my hand, or somebody didn't say hi to me, or my kid didn't get the lead role in the whatever. It don't work like that. You know what happens? They get corrected, and they get reproved, and they get rebuked, and they get exhorted. And so Paul, everywhere he went, every place, and the reason I'm even just highlighting it tonight is there really ain't a difference in as he's finishing up his second missionary journey. It's the same thing. He goes to another place, he gets with more believers, and he starts teaching them the Word of God. For what purpose? So they can teach others also. That's the way it works. All right, let's take a break. Or take up some prayer requests. And so here, this will be some things here that pen, do you? Anybody? An ink pen?